Vincent Kompany won a lot at the Etihad in his time as a player, not on his first visit there as a manager. 6-0 it finishes as Man City march on to the semi-finals of the FA Cup. Erling Haaland picking up the game ball for his 6th hat-trick of the season, on fire again today in this clash against Burnley. As for Burnley, the road stops there when it comes to FA Cup action. Now they can continue their charge for promotion, and boy has that been a charge in the Championship this season. My name is Kate Murray, joined in the studio by Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol. Let's not wait, let's get you caught up on everything that we did see in that FA Cup quarter-final between Manchester City and Burnley, as we got to see Vincent Kompany going to face his old manager Pep Guardiola. Pep, who sees Vincent Kompany as a future Man City manager. In the early stages of the game, we did see Burnley with a couple of chances, but then it all started to happen. This first from Erling Haaland.
Yeah, a beautiful little ball through from Alvarez, and the pace and the composure of Haaland. Just a little gap and he finds it, but look at that, ton of pace, cool as you like, under the goalkeeper's arm.
Soon enough, he was going to have his 41st of the season. This ball in from Phil Foden.
Teed up very nicely by Foden. I think it's Rico Lewis with the ball through to Foden in the first place. That was his special pass that undid Burnley. From here, Foden in space. Haaland times his run to perfection, makes no mistake with the finish.
And as we get into the second half, Haaland would complete his hat trick.
I don't know what you call it, but this guy's always in the right place at the right time.
Quite the knack.
And then on top of that, I mean, what a finish. He has to react really quickly. Again, a nice move. Foden's the one that hits the post, but not only does he react, he smashes it home.
Julian Alvarez would get a goal himself, 62nd minute.
Tapping, again, good football from Manchester City. At this point, Burnley are just stretched far too thin. They don't have the legs to keep up with Manchester City, and it becomes very easy work.
Then we would see 20-year-old Cole Palmer getting his name on the score sheet.
Yeah, again, gets his feet in the right place. Another great City move. They don't mind those 5 yards out.
And they weren't done yet. Going up the pitch once again. And it would be Julian Alvarez with his second of the game and Man City 6.
Julian Alvarez does really well with the finish, but the run and the pass from De Bruyne, this just delays and then plays it in behind the defender. He gets himself in a twist. And then Julian Alvarez, there's a lot of work to do with this. Good turn, good finish.
And that would be how it would end in this game. 6-0 to Manchester City. And you get the feeling that Vincent Kompany will be getting a chance to face City again next season as he takes his side up for promotion this season. But Erling Haaland had himself a day once again. And just look at these numbers. 42 goals in 37 games and 5 assists as well. When it comes to all-time goals in a single season in England, it's hard to put it past him even getting up to the record of Dixie Dean of 60 in the 27-28 season. Craig Burley mentioned it on the commentary today. But look already at the names around him. Erling Haaland, just 22 years old. Stevie, what he's doing is absolutely incredible.
Well, I think for me, you just got to look at the bottom one, Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, he's up there when in terms of the greatest player that ever played. He's in the conversation. And the fact that Erling Haaland is sitting where he is compared to one of the greats of all time, and yet Erling Haaland is only 22. We weren't talking about Cristiano Ronaldo when he was 22 in these sorts of terms, but we're talking about this guy at 22 in these sort of terms. So, listen, he's as good as anybody's ever been at that age.
The thing is, Ronaldo, okay, he is regarded as one of the best of all time just because of how long he did it for and how consistently high he had that level. Of course, we have to wait to see how that plays out with Erling Haaland, but as we said right now, there's no suggestion that he can't continue to score goals in these kinds of numbers wherever he goes, whether he stays in Manchester City or not. Right now, we're just talking about one season, because that's what we have, and it's his first at City. 42 goals. Still, what, 11 league games, at least 2 Champions League games to go, at least 1 more FA Cup game to go. So, There is no reason to suggest that he doesn't comfortably break 50, and all of a sudden that Dixie Dean record is well within his sights. We're 14 games to go. But again, it speaks to how good a player this is. And I spoke at halftime about his maturity, the maturity of his movements for the first two goals. And then for the third, again, you can say right place, right time, you can say instinct, but when that shot goes in, look at Haaland's movement and how he stays kind of ready just in case of anything. Ball comes off the post, and then it's no real surprise that he's able to react. As difficult a finish as it was, but because he never switched off. When everybody else around, whether both City and Burnley players switched off as that ball just seemed destined for the back of the net, comes off the post, and then no real surprise that he can react and finds the back of the net. That speaks to more than just pure talent. That speaks to more than just pure instinct. He knows this game, and he's always switched on, always ready for any eventuality, and he has the talent to make the most of that.
Yeah, to add to what Shaq is saying there as well, Stevie, like, some people can say, oh, you know, it was a goal from close range.
Here's the one. Look at Haaland's movement here. He never stops. He never switches off. When anybody else would kind of, you know, start throwing your hands up and start celebrating because you think that's in. But he doesn't. And then he comes over the post and he is on his toes. He's right. That for me is more than just. That's not coachable.
Yeah, because how hard is it to consistently be there to make sure that you're in the right place at the right time?
I wouldn't know because I couldn't do it.
I thought you scored in three different leagues.
I mean, four different leagues. Come on.
Well, we say talent, and it's a talent he's got. Mm. Now, there are levels of talent, and right now, he's at the top of the tree. It just doesn't get any better. I mean, to turn round and score five during the week and then get three more at the weekend without thinking twice about it, this is becoming normal. You know, if he doesn't score more than a goal, we're like, oh, is it a quiet day today? You know, so he's got himself in the realms of, there's a lot of expectation now, but really, do you think he can't handle that? Absolutely. You talk about desire. That's why Ronaldo was so good. That's why Messi and Pele and all these guys were so good, because the desire to put the ball in the back of the net just doesn't go away. From the first whistle to the last, they're only interested in putting the ball in the net. And I'll tell you what, on the planet, there's nobody does it better than Erling Haaland.
Now, speaking of desire, I'm not sure how much desire Antonio Conte has to stay on as Tottenham Hotspur coach at the moment. We're going to be hearing from him very, very soon. And let's just say a very explosive post-match interview following on from the game between Southampton and Spurs. Let's show you first how it all went down in that game. Just before half-time, Pedro Porro would put Spurs ahead.
Yeah, finds an incredible amount of space on that right-hand side. Ball's delivered, good first touch, and wow, smashes it home.
But then, as we head into the second half, Southampton would find the equaliser through Che Adams.
As we head into the second half, 40 seconds into the second half. So Antonio Conte, team talk, ringing in everybody's ears, Spurs do that.
Maybe, yeah, Harry Kane headed it in here, putting Spurs ahead once again. And then Perisic would get in on the action. Looks all right, right? 3-1.
Really nice goal, really nice finish. And you think, all right, game over. 15 minutes to go. Spurs, two goals to the good, on the road, no problem.
Then came Southampton, getting at least one back on the board. Theo Walcott to make it 3-2.
Right, but even then, I still wasn't a believer.
And then as we take it to the very late stages, Sars called for the foul on in the box on Maitland-Niles.
This was a tough call. There's one angle, I think this one, that just shows that Sar catches Maitland-Niles on the calf slightly. VAR had a long look at it, not enough to overturn the call on the field. And Ward-Prowse makes no mistake from 12 yards.
So that makes it 3-3. We're just taking a look at Spurs in March and their results. Just the one win as it stands versus Nottingham Forest in the Premier League. 3-1 it finished. Now, we did promise you we would bring you Antonio Conte speaking after this game. And when we say it's explosive, we mean it is. It's quite a lengthy and long one. Here's what he had to say.
For me, this is unacceptable. You are winning 3-1, and you are in control of the game, and you are able to concede two goals. The problem is that for another time, we show that we are not a team. We are 11 players that go into the pitch, and I see selfish players. I see players that don't want to help each other, don't put the heart. The most important thing, if you want to become a strong team, if you want to become competitive, if you want to fight to win, is the desire, the fire that you need to have in your eyes, in your heart. And you have to show this in every moment, in every moment. A lot of situations, I repeat, that we are not going to improve. And I'm not speaking about tactical aspect or technical aspect. About to be team, to be team, to be team. This is the most important thing. To understand that we play for the badge. We have to play to make our fans proud of us. You have to play to show desire. The fire in your eyes to win. If you have this, for sure, you don't go out in FA Cup. Today you win. Maybe, previously in the other games, maybe, something can change. But here, we are used for a long time, and then, yeah. It's the club has the responsibility for the transfer market. Every coach that stay here has the responsibility. And the players? The players? Where are the players? About my experience, I can tell you that if you want to be competitive, if you want to fight, you have to improve under this aspect. And now this aspect, for me, in this moment, is really, really low. And I see only 11 players that play for themselves. Yeah.
Tony, this is a difficult question to ask. Do you think your position, the uncertainty of your future?
But you are finding an alibi, another alibi. You try to find alibi or an excuse for the players. Okay, continue to do this, to find excuse for the players. You do only this. Excuse for the players. Yeah, but the players, maybe my future, and then they lost confidence, they lost spirit, they lost to be a team. Excuse. Try to plot it every time, and this situation. Ah, come on. We are professional. We paid. The club paid us a lot of money. The players receive money. Me receive money. You understand? Not to find excuse and don't have spirit or don't show the sense of belongings or don't show sense of responsibility. Because we are showing this. And for me, this is unacceptable for me. Because this is the first time in my career to see a situation like this. And until now, I wasn't able to change. Not to change, but compare last season, the situation went to become worse.
Why, Antonio? Why do you think it is like this?
Why? Bah, I don't know, because they are used here. They are used here. Don't play for something important. Yeah, and they don't play, they don't want to play under pressure, they don't want to play under stress. yeah, it's easy in this way. And Tottenham's story is this, 20 years that there is the owner and never won something. But why? Only for the fault is only for the club or for the every manager that stay here. And I have seen the manager that Tottenham had on the bench. You risk to disrupt the figure of the manager and to protect the other situation in every moment. And now, until now, I tried to hide the situation, but now no, because I repeat, I don't want to see what I have seen today, because this is unacceptable. Also for the respect for the fans, they follow us, pay the tickets, and to see the team another time, to have this type of performance, for me, I repeat, this is unacceptable. And we have to think a lot. We have to think a lot about this.
Last one, please, guys. Thank you.
Antonio, last week you said that you saw the fire in the eyes of your players again. What has changed between now and this game, and how much is it your responsibility to motivate them?
I said that I want to see the fire, not that I have seen. It's different.
Right.
I said that I want to see the fire into the eyes. I want to see the fire into the heart. I want to see the right spirit, okay? And not only in the training session, into the pitch. Because here you have to make the difference. And I'm not seeing this. And until now, I try to hide the situation. But now, oh, there are 10 games to go. And something thinks that we can fight. We can fight for what? With this spirit, with this attitude, with this commitment. For what? For the 7th, 8th place, 9th place? I'm not used to this position. I'm really upset. And everybody has to take the responsibility, not only the club, not only the manager, the staff. The player has to be involved in this situation. Because it's time to change the situation if Tottenham wants to change. If they want to continue in this way, they can change manager, a lot of manager, but the situation cannot change, believe me. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What do you make of that, Stevie?
Well, he hasn't been able to put the culture in the club that he wanted. And it seems, listening to him, and when you listen to what he's saying, I've got to agree with him. You look at the managers that Tottenham have had, you know, most of the other teams in Europe would have liked to have had these managers. And they couldn't put a culture in the club. And so it does sound to me as though he's had it. It sounds like he's saying, I can't hold this in any longer. The problem is not with me. The problem is not with the club. The problem, more than anything, is with the players. And I think, yes, he has to take some responsibility, because as a coach, it's your job to influence players in whatever way it needs be in order to see out a game when you're 3-1 up with 13 minutes to go. But at the end of the day, if players are not willing to accept responsibility all the time, not now and again. We sit here and laugh and can call them Spursy because we know that from the depths of despair, they can turn around and beat anybody. But that only tells you that the culture and the players as a group will not take responsibility 100% of the time. 50% is not enough. If you do it 50% of the time, guess what? You win 50% of the games and you lose the other 50. So I'm with him in a lot of ways. The culture isn't there. He hasn't been able to put a culture of that winning mentality in. And so, yes, I absolutely agree that the majority of the time is down to the players. And there is nobody can turn around and blame him for this, because 3-1 up against a team that's bottom of the league with 13 minutes to go and you can't finish it, that tells you all you need to know about what's going on the field, not from the bench.
Have the players been getting away without getting criticised as much as they should at Tottenham?
It's on the face of this alone, it certainly seems so. And I'm with Steve in that. That, first of all, it kind of took me back. You don't see managers speaking in that tone, in that manner, about their team. And as much as Antonio Conte, his contract is up at the end of the season, I'm not sure how he still Spurs manager next week. I'm not sure how he goes back in to that dressing room to face those players, or how those players face him and have respect for him, given what's said. That being said, what he says just rings so true. And as much as we kind of look at Spurs from the outside and accuse them of being Spursy, as Stevie put it, him experiencing that and speaking in that with the emotion that he has kind of made us sit back and maybe pay better attention. And maybe it's needed to be said. Maybe it is long, long overdue. And maybe the true beneficiary of that interview is whoever Spurs' next manager is, in that the club as a whole, players, staff, ownership, because the culture is down to all of those pieces. And what he's saying, the culture of the club doesn't promote Spurs to be successful or even see themselves as successful. So until that culture is addressed, we'll continue sitting here and call them Spursy. If they're able to do that between now and start of next season, let's say, bring in a manager who can benefit from that kind of introspection at Tottenham Hotspur, maybe they put things in the right direction. Maybe they fix whatever needs to be righted. But as of right now, if this culture continues, it doesn't matter who the next manager is. We're going to have, it's fine for us, we could sit here and have this conversation about Spurs all day, every day.
Is that a red flag for other managers, what they heard and saw from Conte today?
I don't think so. I think it'll just give them more information. Whoever takes the job, any manager worth his salt wants the Tottenham Hotspur job. It's not going to put them off. It's just going to make them aware, if they weren't aware, that is one of the biggest problems. Because talent-wise, they've got a good side. Nobody can argue that. But talent isn't enough. You need the basics. And when I say the basics, you need the heart for the game. And actually, professionalism, because that's what it is. Professionalism is about doing the right thing at the right time to get where you want to be. And they aren't doing that. So desire doesn't seem to be there. And more worryingly would be the professionalism. And as I said, if you've got Antonio Conte and Jose Mourinho that can't get that, then the next guy is... And he's going to have a tough job, but there'll be plenty of people wanting to do it.
Do you think that's up there? Do you think that stands out as one of the most heated post-match pressers in Premier League history that you can remember in recent history?
Yeah, I can't remember anything quite like that.
That's generally a conversation that the manager has with the team.
Yeah.
That strong. You know, yes, you can criticise your team in certain ways in the press, but not to that degree.
Not publicly. We've been critical of managers who've come out to the press and kind of thrown the players under the bus in this kind of manner. As players, we're quite used to managers saying that type of thing in dressing rooms. Mm-hmm. We're certainly not used to hearing them say it publicly. They tone it down and dress it up whichever way you like. But if that's what he's saying publicly... A little bit scared to think what he was saying privately in the dressing room.
Yeah.
But as far as public indictments of an entire club and its culture, I don't think I've heard anything that thorough, that emotional. I don't think I've heard anybody that scathing of his own team. I mean, this is right up there. Tick every single box in terms of post-match interviews and it being top of the list.
So now what? What happens now between Conte and the players going forward? There's still the rest of the season to play out.
He can't be manager. Oh, he can't be manager this summer.
I don't know, Shaq.
I mean, next weekend.
If I'm him, I'm going into the dressing room Monday morning, Tuesday, whenever it is, they're back in, and I'm going to go, right. I'm assuming you all saw it.
International break.
Exactly. It's an international break for a couple of weeks.
Well, that's even better. Give them time to think about it. But when they come back, whenever it is... I'm walking straight in the dressing room and I'm going, right, did you hear my interview? And if you didn't hear it, go and listen to it. Now, between now and the end of the season, prove me wrong. tell me I'm wrong. And if anybody individually wants to come and see me and tell me that I'm wrong about them, then absolutely. The door's over there. I'll be sitting there. Come. Just come and knock on it, and you're welcome to come in. And I'll tell you exactly, personally, what I think of what you're doing and how you go about it. So if anybody wants to do that, on you go. So let's see what you're made of, and then you walk out.
Here's a challenge. Here's a challenge to that, and obviously this is one we can really speculate on, whether Spurs players have that character to do as Steve is saying. Whether we are talking about young men very well paid, and that brings its own set of issues in terms of rattling their cages. Now, just because you're young and well paid doesn't mean that you aren't able to kind of digest it, that kind of a criticism. That's what the best players do. That's what the best clubs are able to do. Regardless of how well you're paid, when you don't play well and the manager comes and says, you do something about it. But I'm not sure that translates that well the further you get from the top. Because then those players are still very well paid, and they're thinking as well, you'll be gone in a minute anyway. So I'm sitting here on a 3-year contract. I'm no skin off my back type of thing. And that is a challenge. I'm just not sure. To what Stevie's saying, and he's absolutely right, I'm just not sure that Spurs has that personnel who can take that criticism on board and do something about it and change things around about who they are as individuals, more importantly, who they are as a team.
He'll know exactly who's going to chap his door and who's not. He'll already have a mental list of, well, I know Harry Kane's going to come to me and go, hold on a minute, you're talking about me. And there's probably two or three others he'll go, I know they're going to come and chap my door and go, hey, hold on a minute, I hope you're not including me in this. But then there'll be a whole lot.
There'll be about 29 who will.
We'll go, you know what? Him, they won't come anywhere near me, guaranteed.
But does it matter anyway if they think he's going at the end of the season?
If they look at it that way, then all they've done is show him that he's correct.
Mm, yeah.
Right. That's all that will happen. If any of them go, well, you know what? He's going to be gone anyway. So what?
It matters.
It just tells you he was right.
It would matter to the best players and the best teams. I'm just not sure how many in that Spurs dressing room fall into that category.
Well, let's get you caught up on some more Premier League action today, shall we? Chelsea taking on Everton. We're going to pick it up in the second half because that's when we started to see the goal scoring. Chelsea on the attack here. Ball falls to João Félix. Off the post and in.
Well, it's a good strike. It gets a little fortunate. It goes through the defender's legs, which means Pickford's a little late to see it, and it comes in off the post.
Corner for Everton. Ends up in a goal for Everton, 1-1.
Set piece, deep set piece, headed back across, and then Decore gets the telling touch. Pass Kepa cleared off the line, but not in time.
To the 73rd. Chelsea would get a penalty.
Yeah, I think the ref gets this right. It goes past Godfrey,
yeah,
and then he does collide. Tarkovsky's a little late, and it's a penalty kick. And it's well taken by Havertz. Side net, and Pickford goes the wrong way.
But late on in this one, Everton looking for a late equaliser, and it would come. Ellis Sims, 2-2.
Go ahead, Stevie.
Koulibaly here is just awful. Awful.
Credit to Ellis Sims. But to Stevie's point, you expect a whole lot more from a defender of Koulibaly's reputation.
And this is how it's looking right now. Chelsea in the top half of the table as it stands. But the way that Everton managed to fight back there and take a point from this one will certainly be encouraging, especially when you see how tight things are at the bottom end of the table. Now, as it stands, they are in 15th with 26 points. Make sure to be with us tonight for ESPN FC. There'll no doubt be more talk about Conte and all the rest of the day's action, including what we've seen in the FA Cup. ESPN FC available every single day on ESPN+. Some reaction from the Etihad.
Congratulations into the semi-finals, but we have to start. Congratulations into the semi-finals, but we have to start by talking about you. Another hat trick, 8 goals in a week now. You just can't stop scoring, can you?
No, it's been a good couple of last games, important games, and 7-0 and 6-0 before the national team break is impressive, and I'm really happy.
You say there it's been a good couple of games, but 42 goals for the season now. These were your first FA Cup goals today as well. Did we see in the celebrations just how much they meant to you today?
No, every goal means a lot to me. It doesn't matter. And every goal for the team means a lot. So to win 6-0 today is an amazing thing against a really good Burnley side. But I'm really happy. And we now the next game is at Wembley.
A City clicking at just the right time. 6 wins in a row in all competitions, 23 goals in those times as well.
Yeah, I think we're in that part of the season that we should be at our best. Of course, we have to be at our best all the time, but now it's where things get decided, and we have to perform. We have to perform every single game because the last couple of games has been finals, you know, and that's exactly what we've been doing. So. I'm proud and happy. I don't know what more to say.
No, I'm not surprised. You're doing so many congratulations. Another huge win. Another trip to Wembley ahead of you. Erling Haaland, another hat trick. What a week for you and for him.
Yeah, it has been a good month with Newcastle and Leipzig and Crystal Palace. And today, it was a good result, a really tough one. We didn't expect momentum all around the pitch. Just Stefan Ortega was the free man, and that situation had to play more direct to Erling and the wingers, and second half was much better. Of course, the result of 2-0 helped us, but I was really impressed. The good Burnley they are, it's not a surprise, you know, what they are doing in the championship. Next season we will face them.
Well, congratulations today, Pep.
Thank you.
A 5th consecutive FA Cup semi-final for Manchester City. Look at who they are up there with when it comes to the most in history.
This is Oxford University stands
out. Between 1872 and 1877.
Oh, what a run.
That on.
What a team Oxford had back then. They were the city of the day.
What's the cut-off point for history then?
They're also the smartest team that's ever been. They had an IQ average of 175.
It's quite an achievement, though, isn't it?
Obviously, it's very clever, absolutely.
No, for Manchester City, obviously, to ensure to get to this stage. 5 consecutive seasons. It says a lot, doesn't it, guys?
It does. Listen, but City have kind of set their own standard for excellence, certainly domestically, and credit to them. You understand, I keep saying this, that the Champions League is the holy grail for them, but regardless, season in, season out, every single competition, they're in. And that's a credit to the club that has been built.
It wasn't the best day for Burnley, it's fair to say, but it has been a great season for them so far in the Championship. Nader Manua is now standing by with Vincent Kompany himself.
So, Vincent, unfortunately, it was a bad result today, but what do you make of the performance overall, given the way that you prepared your team for this match?
I'll always be proud of my team. They work hard, they're tired, and we didn't have a lot of time to prepare this game either. But it was a challenge that we loved. And then in the end, you come up against a good team. I've been in the away dress. I've been in the dressing room of Man City for many years. And when you play against Championship teams, as this type of game is exactly what you expect. But the first half, I think, was something positive for us to take from this game. And after that, the result. It's definitely not something you can enjoy, of course.
And after such a big result like that, what was the mood like in the dressing room? Like, what are the lessons you're taking forward?
You've got to use the pain. It's such an important moment. So my first thing is that no one can tell me that some of our players, maybe one or two, don't have the potential or the right to dream to one day play for the very best teams in the world. But now they know how much work they have to do, and that's such a powerful message for me. We go back to the training ground, and we're not first in the Championship. We're 21st in English football. That's why we can't rest.
And one final question. So now you've finally been back and it's all over. How do you actually feel in this moment?
I think I expected something to be special, but when it actually happens, you know, the first coming out and having the fans, and it was a little bit, you know, the City fans and the Burnley fans, it's special. It's not something that I can describe very easily, but a very special moment that I'll remember. But then, you know, Man City did what they did, what they do, and they competed, and you know, gives us a chance to look back and look forward to improve.
Hopefully there'll be many more moments like this in the Premier League for you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Hello, brother.
Good to see you. You too.
So where are you now at the moment?
There we go, Needham.
I'm busy, mate.
Talking to his mate, Vincent. I'm going to be hearing from Needham in just a moment. Actually, he's with us right now, so let's get his observations after
this one. Oh, he's got all the tears have gone.
He cleaned up.
Needham, talk to us a little bit more. Obviously, we just heard you speaking to company there. What's the reaction been like in that mix zone afterwards?
I think there's a sense of disappointment they can hear in his voice, because maybe he hoped his team would do better, but then it's the realisation where he's been in that home dressing room and he's seen them take many teams to the sword, and unfortunately that was the case for his side today. But he understands that, you know, for them to do well next season, it's not like they have to win here, but they need to find ways to be harder to break down, to not be able to concede that many goals on a week-to-week basis. And yeah, it's going to be a big moment for them because they're enjoying being at the top of the league, but at the end of the day they know that that's just to get out of the Championship. To stay in the Premier League is a whole different matter.
Nathan, we can't tell if you've been cheering so loud for those City goals that you've lost your voice, or if you're talking quietly because somebody might be able to hear what you're saying.
Oh, you can't hear me at all now?
You're just talking a little bit more quieter than usual.
It's because everyone's looking at me, that's why.
A bit dismissed, everyone's staring at me,
thrown off.
He's not disappointed. He even said before the game, that was too big a story, had Burnley won this one.
To be honest, Kate, I was a bit disappointed because it felt bad when the fourth and the fifth was going in. I just saw him standing on the sideline, and usually, you know, at the Etihad, he's responsible for being on the field, enjoying those moments. Yet still now, he was on the side there, helpless, and watching his side basically be outclassed and just be punished in that sort of manner that many teams have gone through, you know, from that perspective as well. So I did feel bad. I was hoping it was going to stop at about 4 or 5, but that's not the way football works. But again, you'll remember all those goals, and you'll remember the start of the game when everybody cheered him. But unfortunately for them, that's his biggest defeat, possibly as manager ever. And I'm sure it's not going to be one he's going to forget about anytime soon.
Yeah. On his fourth defeat of the season, though, in all competitions, which just shows you why they are where they are right now. Needham will be back tomorrow. He's going to be at the Manchester United-Fulham game in the FA Cup. So make sure that you do join us for that one. I'll have full wraparound coverage and let you know everything that happened in the other two games as well, which you'll be able to catch at the times shown here on ESPN+. So there is plenty to look forward to this weekend still. Sunday bringing us El Clasico from the Camp Nou. League play between these two sides. Barcelona taking on Real Madrid, and full build-up with our team there on the ground in Barcelona as well. Make sure if you are in the Los Angeles region, you get on over to watch at Tom's Bar. You can see it live. It's a watch party with Herc, with Ricky Pooch, and with Hugo Sanchez. Who knows, you might even be able to snap a picture with one of these guys. But Manchester City are now through to a fifth consecutive FA Cup semi-final. A big thanks in this one to Erling Haaland, scoring his sixth hat-trick of the season. No signs of him stopping anytime soon. More FA Cup action to come tomorrow on ESPN+. We'll find out which other team will be joining them in the semi-finals.